Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? I'm nervous. How are you? You feeling okay? Everything good? I'm working with a small handicap, so I'm just asking for you to pray for me. About a couple months ago, I broke my iPad. Lord, the mercy. So I've got a notebook with paper. Lord, have mercy. So pray for me, because I've been secretly asking the Lord to just restore that iPad. I looked at it the other day because I still have it like beside my sofa at home, and it didn't restore. So God is saying, baby girl, you need to go buy another iPad. I was like, okay, all right, I will. I'll do that one day eventually. But it took some getting used to going back to paper, but paper still works, right? All right, amen. It has been an interesting couple of weeks and couple of months. I don't know about you, but the summer went by in a blur of activity. At the time that we were entering a sabbatical period, I was entering a new world of learning. Yes, of course, those of you who know me pretty well know that I am often in the midst of a learning activity. I am either going to school or training, or I just completed school or training. This summer, I began a certification training to become a spiritual director. What that means to you is that one day, when I grow up and am finished, I will be available to help you, anyone who chooses to do so, begin steps to a path toward God in your spiritual journey, and a hope that as this journey continues, you will become more aware of God and how he makes himself known to you. That's a pretty general definition, but I didn't want to get too technical this morning. But that sounds pretty good, right? Before I go forward in my sermon, I want to say, I'm going to need your help, because I want you guys to respond to me this morning, okay? So there are gonna be times when I'm gonna ask you to say, wow. So wow, say wow. That's so good. There are other times that I'm gonna ask you to say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Okay, all right, we're ready, right? Okay. As this learning journey begins for me, I'm understanding what this means to me. It's not that there are more books in my future. Luckily, I like to read. And more reflection papers. I don't really like those as much. But that I will be exploring my interior world. More about that wild land that dwells within me. And I'm gonna tell you a secret. It's not too pretty in there. Lots of pain and confusion. And to be honest with you, a number of things that I thought I had fully dealt with and were over. To my utter surprise, there are still quite a bit of wounds and things that God has intentions about. He intends to walk me through some of those dark places and bring light to darkness. While I'm in training, while I'm reading all these books and reflecting, while I'm learning to encourage others to do the same. Wow. That's a big wow. At some point, I asked myself, what have I gotten myself into? I mean, really, God, do we have to go there? And the answer to that question is a resounding yes. As I was spending time in this training, I got to meet a lot of great people who are also sharing the same astonishment and joy of learning to be spiritual directors. We spent time talking and sharing with each other about the journey we have had with God thus far. What great stories I heard of God's goodness and faithfulness. I was asked a question one day that caused me to share a story of my own. I was reminded at that time in my life when I was a young wife living with my husband. So I'm going to share with you today a photo of the two of us. This is Mr. and Mrs. Tyler Drew. Tyler was very handsome, very tall. I loved him to death. But this is our wedding day in 1996. At this point in our marriage that I'm remembering this story, Tyler, Drew, and I had been through quite a few things. The story I shared happened about a year and a half into our wedding. Before our wedding day, we had already been through one major illness in that Tyler had had a car accident. He had suffered a stroke through a set of circumstances resulting from the accident. I spent many days at the hospital wondering if we would make it down the aisle. I spent time praying, asking God what was the deal. I believed that God had told me to say yes to this man and to marry him. We were working on getting our honeymoon plans finished in July that year as we anticipated our October wedding date. When the accident occurred, Tyler and I had no idea what would happen next. Later that night of the accident, I was at the hospital listening to doctors saying to me there was not much they could do. Tyler had had a stroke, and the longer the blood clot stayed in his brain, the more damage was being done. I believed in that moment that they wanted me to say that it was okay, you don't have to do anything, and just let him pass away. That's not what I and Tyler's mother told them to do. Through the faithfulness of God, Tyler came through the surgery to remove the clot, spent 1 week in a coma, only to come out of the coma at the end of the week calling me, asking me to bring him his favorite meal because he was starving. He wanted a Wendy's double with extra onion. He went through weeks of physical therapy, and after we had decided that we had both been through too much not to get married, we were able to keep our original wedding date, which was October 6th, 1996. Tyler was able to walk down the aisle as he had hoped without much assistance from his cane. Praise God. So let's fast forward a little bit to a year and a half later. Tyler Drew was on my nerves. Once and again. I was so irritated with him this day that I left home and drove the 270 loop at least 3 times. The whole time I drove, I was also fussing and crying and telling God about this man he had made me marry. And what did God expect me to do? I mean, this man was impossible. He was on my nerves. He was doing this and saying that. He was a sweetheart, all right, but this day he was not so sweet. I continued to complain and fuss and complain more, and I finally asked God, what did he plan to do about Tyler and all that he was doing to me? Once I settled down, I heard God say, what about you? Well, my first response was, what about me? God had to talk to me and tell me that the problem with Tyler in some ways was not centered on Tyler, but centered on Tyler's wife, me. If I wanted to change Tyler or wanted to see a change in Tyler, I had to be willing to change and submit to God and to Tyler. God had more to say to me, of course, and when you have a couple of hours, I will share the rest of what God said. He said a lot that day. But I want to share that I was the most astonished at this fact. As I was telling God what the agenda should be, God had other things for me to focus on and another way to get to the root of the issue. This is where I will pause to continue our conversation about wasting time with Jesus. We will read our scripture reading, and then I will give us our title and the main idea. So we're going to read John chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. So I'm going to ask you to stand so we can read this together. And we're going to be reading it from the Christian Standard Bible. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 18 begins. There was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform these signs you do unless God were in him. Jesus replied, "Truly, I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." "How can anyone be born that he is old?" Nicodemus asked him. "Can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly I tell you, unless someone is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you that you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it's come from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit."
"How can these things be?"
asked Nicodemus.
"Are you a teacher of Israel and don't know these things?" Jesus replied,
"Truly I tell you, we speak that we know and we testify what we have seen, but you do not accept our testimony. If I had told you about earthly things and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man will
be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life."
For God loved the world
this way.
He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned because
he does not believe in the name of the one
and only Son of God. This is the word of the Lord, and the people of God said, "Thanks be to God." Let it fill our minds, flow from our mouths, and free us to live as beloved children of God. Amen. You may be seated. My title for today is Wasting Time with Jesus Who Knows Me. And our main idea is that we are fully known by God. The story of Nicodemus gives us a glimpse of how well God knows us. We just finished an excellent series that showed us, that allowed us to explore the wild land within. I am very thankful to Lisa Colon DeLay for writing and sharing her book with the world and with us. It is interesting, breathtaking, shocking, alarming, puzzling, just to name a few words, as we go beyond the surface to explore all that lies within our heart. Knowing ourselves often answers the question of why we do what we do. It seems we are often attempting to explain our actions, especially when we as Christians try to live lives that exemplify the teachings of Jesus Christ. For this reason, Bible teachers like Paul wrote in the book of Romans, chapter 7, verses 19 through 25, about this very fact. Paul explains that there are two things at work: my spirit that wants to do as God teaches, and my sin that is in my flesh that often drives my desires and needs to be satisfied. Paul actually explained at one point in one passage, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body?" Taken from verse 24. He said all that to say, what a mess we are. We want to do right and desire to be good, but our flesh works against us to stay the course of doing things that are not pleasing to God. During this series and the study of the book, The Wild Land Within, I was drawn to the notion of what it means to know myself. Can we know ourselves? Is it possible to be known as I am fully known by God? Or will there always be a hole in my understanding of who the real Dawana is? There are other authors who teach and believe that knowing God is knowing ourselves, and to know ourselves is to know God. I surely felt this concept as God continued to teach me how to be a wife to Tyler Drew. Not just a good one, not just a faithful one, or a loving one, but to be Tyler's wife. I had no idea what that looked like or the journey that God would take me on to show me what that looked like. As I continue, I want you to know that God is showing us more than meets the eye as we review his conversation with Nicodemus that day. That conversation was a great moment in time, not just a teaching on salvation, which definitely it was, but also a lesson in being known. For years, the sermons I heard from this passage focused solely on what it means to be born again. We are told, and rightly so, that Nicodemus was confused and unlearned about the notion of salvation. He did not understand, so his solution was to seek Jesus out. I want us to look closer at that interaction. Notice again Nicodemus's posture. He came at night, and he came with a statement of intent. He had been thrown by Jesus' initial response to his statement. He had also been thinking, I never got to say what I really wanted to say. Jesus launched into a discussion as if they had been talking about salvation all day long. My first point today is this. Jesus will always, always go right to the heart of the matter. He will not allow the time he spends with you to be wasted and not dealing with the root of the problem, issue, concern, or challenge. We can see by Nicodemus' response that he was truly perplexed by what Jesus said, saying that what Jesus was saying was impossible. This is an important point to note. Jesus, God made flesh, cares more for us than we know. Jesus, as part of the Godhead, is aware of our needs, desires, hurts, pains, and wounds. When I talk to people each day, it is interesting to watch the ways in which they communicate with me. Some people are generally interested in what I have to say, within reason, and have a certain time limit that I am not aware of. I can tell sometimes when I'm talking too long by their body posture or other responses, like I can tell when someone is not really interested in hearing if I'm okay by how much time I've given to respond. These are just small examples of how we can interact with each other. Interacting with our Creator is on a whole other level. Sometimes Jesus will hit right at home and prompt me with an answer to a question I have no intention of answering. God, I'm not talking to you about that. Or at least I thought I had an intention of not to answer. Other times Jesus answers questions I never asked of him. I believe this may be part of Nicodemus's response and experience. He started out complimenting our Lord by telling Jesus that he, Nicodemus, knew that Jesus was from God because of the things he had taught. Jesus wanted to first and foremost prove that he is God by going right to the question Nicodemus had all along. How can one be born again? Physicality makes it impossible to re-enter the womb of our mothers. Plus, our mothers are probably not open to this notion. Not at all. Jesus wanted to tell Nicodemus without saying it explicitly that he is God, period. From there, the conversation ensued. Here's the reason I wanted to highlight this point. We are created to be known. The Bible teaches explicitly and implicitly that mankind was created for relationship. God is literally screaming through each book of the Bible to let us know that He created us and that He created us for relationship. As such, we are created to be known by God. We engage in a dance of, do you know me or not, with others, which is necessary and is a necessary coping and engagement skill. Unfortunately, everyone cannot handle knowing who we are, really. The defenses we have created are necessary and important to protecting us from evil forces operating in the world. Unfortunately, as well, it is not possible to be known by everyone. I don't think that we could handle all the knowledge and responsibility involved with knowing everyone intimately. This makes a relationship with God a needful thing. David Benner, in his book, The Gift of Being Yourself, says it this way. There is no deep knowing of God without a deep knowing of self. Our journey to understanding ourselves as people of God, the beloved of God, has to involve the journey of knowing ourselves. Any resistance to this part of our journey is met by Jesus with frank, direct, and sometimes puzzling responses to our questions and prayers. Not unlike Nicodemus's interaction with Jesus in our passage, and not unlike the response of a young wife that she got from Jesus the day she thought she was going to tell on her husband and get him in trouble with God. What was she thinking? Jesus's approach to us will not change because we are unwilling or unaware of his tactics. So today you have been informed and therefore aware that God's desire for you includes a knowing of him that has to include a deeper knowing of yourself. The two concepts are connected and never to be separated. My final point involves a question for you, for those who hear the sound of my voice. You may be sitting in here in the sanctuary or out in the fellowship area. You may be watching via Facebook or YouTube. You may be hearing me in various different kinds of ways, either live or on replay. But I want you to take a moment and think about your encounters with God. When was the last time you asked God for something? When you did, what answer did you get? Based on that answer, what did God teach you about yourself and how well he knows you? My last point is this. God's answers are meant to teach you about yourself and to teach you who he is. In our scripture passage for today, what do you think Nicodemus learned? I would venture a guess that Nicodemus learned three things that day. Unfortunately, he can't speak for himself, so I will do it. The first thing he learned is Jesus is God. Wow. Okay, big wow. What a revelation. Can you think of a time that God's answer to you confirmed that God is really God? I mean, yeah, I know God is God, but there are times when God does something and you walk away and you say, God, wow, you are really God. Look at that, right? The second thing Nicodemus learned is how we as God's people can and should be born again. It's not a physical transaction, but a spiritual one. It's not based on lineage or ancestry, but on hearts willing to receive the message and method of salvation. It's not an easy thing to accept. I mean, Jesus told him and tells us today that we must accept Jesus as Savior totally outside of a physical experience. It is not about our bodies, but our spirits. Wow. A big wow.
Wow.
goes right there. He also shared with Nicodemus the method of salvation, that he, Jesus, would have to die so that we who believe can live an eternal life through Jesus' sacrifice. Nicodemus's mind had to be on tilt. He had to be reeling. Jesus told him many things that day, but primarily a teaching that should have shown him the way to eternal life and light. The third thing that Nicodemus learned is that from Jesus is whether he, Nicodemus, is ready to accept eternal life as Jesus taught. Did Nicodemus receive eternal life through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Only God can really answer that question. I believe and hope that by his interaction with Jesus, he would have never been the same, and because of that, he would have to say yes to salvation. And so the question comes back to you. I feel the same way. Think of the last time you received an answer from God. God answers us in many ways. Some hear an audible voice. Others include other ways include a friend or a confidant who may come and answer something for you that you were seeking from God, but they didn't know you were seeking that from God. Still, other ways God answers us is through the work of circumstances, things just working out in our favor. And then we know, okay, God, thank you. That was an answer to my prayer. God works in many ways and is not limited by our location or understanding of what he can do. So again, I want us to go back to the last time you got an answer from God. What did God say to you? How did he respond? Now that you have that something in your mind, I want you to think of an answer in a new way. You may have seen the answer as what it was, an answer that you are excited or grateful for. This is good, very good. Amen? Now I want you to see that answer in this way. What did the answer teach you about yourself and about who God is? It could be a positive or a negative answer, one that you liked or disliked. But again, what did the answer teach you about yourself and about the God who loves you more than anything? Amen? All right, let's pray. God, we thank you for all your answers. Yes, no, maybe, wait. We see them sometimes as positives. We see them sometimes as negatives. God, thank you for showing us today that you answer us because you are with us. There's no way, God, that you wouldn't answer our prayers because you are always present with us. I ask, Father, that you would make it clear in our hearts and minds today what you want us to see about those answers that you have provided for us. Not in terms of good and bad, but in terms of, God, what did you show me about myself by the way that you answered my prayer? And then also, God, what did you show me about you as the great creator of all things? We love you, Lord, and we just thank you for your goodness always, your faithfulness always, and your presence always. So we thank you now in Jesus' name. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and forever will be, world without end. Amen. Thank you.